Well, good evening, everybody. It's lovely to see all of you. Thank you for coming out. I get the privilege of standing here and seeing all the candles. It's really lovely, lovely sight in our candlelit carol service. Well, as you can see from the screen, I'm going to talk about quite an interesting subject this evening, AI. It's quite fascinating, isn't it, AI? And I think actually we're in this moment now when AI, it feels like, to me anyway, maybe to you as well, AI is introducing quite a lot of uncertainty into our lives. We've just, that's been a theme, hasn't it? Thank you for those of you who shared uncertainties in your life. And I think this new invention, this thing that's growing in popularity, can easily make us feel uncertain about the future, what's going to happen with regards to AI. And it has really become a thing, hasn't it? It's really growing. It's massively popular. Millions and millions have been spent on developing it. It's constantly pushed and hyped in advertising. And it feels like it's everywhere sometimes. It's in your car, it's in phones, it's in gaming, healthcare, research, development, in business, in finance, in consumer products, in movies. It feels like it really is everywhere. And so I thought it would be good to think about it for a little bit, but especially focusing on the title on the screen there, How AI Points Us to Christmas. Because it really does. It might seem a little bit random about how it does, but stay with me, because we'll find out. It's a fascinating journey we're going to go on. But first of all, before we think about this statement, this question, a little bit of background on AI to kind of bring us up to speed, as it were. What is AI, first of all? Well, it stands for artificial intelligence, and here's a definition. A computer system which analyzes billions of data points to simulate human learning, comprehension, problem solving, decision making, creativity, and autonomy. In simpler terms, it's a computer system which simulates human intelligence. So that's what AI is, but how does it work? Well, the human brain is made up of billions of interconnected neurons which send and receive electrical impulses. That's how our brains work. Artificial intelligence mimics the structure of the brain, but on a microchip. And these microchips, these AI microchips, are made up of billions of interconnected transistors. And when they're fed with enough data, AI can simulate human intelligence, can imitate a human thinking and speaking intelligently. Now, there are different types of AI. First of all, there's narrow AI, also called weak AI. And that does what we've just been thinking about, simulate human intelligence, and it can simulate it really, really well, really convincingly, but it remains a simulation. And there's two types of narrow AI. First of all, discriminative AI. So this has been going on in our lives in the background for many years now. This can kind of sort and classify information into categories. And it's used in your email spam filter, face recognition, medical diagnosis, fraud detection, and so on. But a more recent form of AI is generative AI. This is a much more advanced form of AI, and it's able to create new content which has not previously existed. And this is why we are getting interested in it and why it's so fascinating. It's really got our attention. So examples of generative AI are generative AI assistants. Maybe you've used them. Claude, Grok, Gemini, ChatGPT, for example. AI art production as well. Sorry, I haven't tapped through. Oh no, that's not that one. I lost myself. There you go. There's also AI music production. Suno, Udio, and things like that. And these are available now and being used now. So that's narrow AI. And then there's another type of artificial intelligence called general AI or strong AI. And this is a form of AI which actually would have its own intelligence, would think for itself. But it doesn't exist yet. And scientists are very divided, computer scientists, as to whether it ever will exist. And this is the AI which is so beloved of science fiction books and movies, so you've probably come across it. HAL in 2001 A Space Odyssey, Skynet in Terminator, The Entity in the final Mission Impossible movie, and my favourite AI of all, Auto in WALL-E. And for movie nerds, that was based on HAL, so that's a nice touch there. So that's just in the realm of science fiction at the moment. But AI is not science fiction for us, is it? It's very much there in our everyday lives. And I just want to give you a couple of fascinating examples of how AI is influencing our lives and is very much in our lives at the moment. The first example is driverless AI taxis, such as this one by Waymo. Now, this is actually being used. This is a YouTube video I found of somebody testing it out. It's in Atlanta in the USA. Waymo want to come to London very soon and put their driverless AI taxis on the road. Just a quick show of hands. Has anybody been in a driverless AI taxi? Okay. Another show of hands. Would you go in a driverless AI taxi? I got some very enthusiastic early adopters there. But it feels strange, doesn't it, entrusting ourselves to AI. But that's happening. That's around the corner. Another example of AI in everyday life is music. So right now, there are AI-generated songs on Spotify and other streaming platforms. Produced by AI-generated bands, such as Velvet Sundown and this one, Breaking Rust. And some of these AI-generated songs have been reaching the top of the charts. So we're going to listen to one that did last month. It got to number one in the American country music Billboard charts. It's by this group. Whatever you call it, and it's called Walk My Walk. So here's a 30-second clip that we're going to listen to of this completely AI-generated song that reached number one.
I keep moving forward, never looking back, with a worn-out hat and a six-string strap. You can kick rocks if you don't like how I talk. I'm gonna keep on talking and walk my walk. Ain't changing my tone, ain't changing my song. I was born this way, been loud too long. You can hate my style, you can roll your eyes, but I ain't slowing down, I was born to rise. So kick them rocks if you don't like how I talk. I'm gonna keep on talking and walk my walk.
Isn't it? That got to number one. It's not a bad song, eh? And I wanted to play you the track because it's got quite cheeky lyrics, if you noticed. So it's an AI-generated song saying, if you don't like my talk, if you don't know what I'm saying, you can go away and kick rocks. It's as if it's saying AI music is here to stay. So tough if you don't like it. A recent study by streaming app Deezer estimates that 50,000 AI-generated songs are uploaded to their platform every day. That's 34% of all of the music submitted. So that's a lot of AI stuff just being used now, isn't it, in our society, in everyday life. AI is very powerful. If you've ever used it, a generative assistant or something like that, you've probably been amazed by what AI can accomplish. It can write essays, build websites, write novels, produce images and videos which are increasingly realistic. It can have conversations with humans. It can write computer code, detect cancer quicker and more accurately than humans, and massively speed up medical research. And I read somewhere in my research that it's been banned in the top universities already, completely, utterly banned. Here is my favourite example of the phenomenal power of AI. So Google DeepMind, and these images, these videos are from their website, developed an AI system called AlphaFold to work out how proteins fold in three dimensions. Because if you know the complex three-dimensional structure of a protein, you can work out how to combat diseases which are caused by tiny structural flaws. Now, previously, it would take one PhD researcher up to 5 years to work out one protein structure. Now, with Google DeepMind AlphaFold, it takes seconds. 5 years to 5 seconds. That's astonishing, really, isn't it? Just the sheer power of it to speed up these incredibly complex calculations and researches and so on. And so given the mind-boggling power of AI, it might not surprise you to know that some advocates of AI are predicting that it could solve the biggest problems facing humans in a relatively short space of time. In other words, some people are viewing AI as savior, the savior of the human race, the savior of the world, to save us from problems like famine, disease, loneliness, global warming, pollution, food and energy production, and even from death. Is that working? So there is a movement. Sorry, my phone has frozen up, and I just need to start it again. Get back there. This movement is called transhumanism, and it's this theory that believes that humans in the future can, well, that's ironic, isn't it? So Siri, my AI assistant, has kicked in and is messing up my presentation. How ironic is that when I'm doing a talk on AI? There you go. So transhumanism, this movement that believes that we can defeat the problem of our bodies. You know, the problems that we have with our bodies, disease, decay, death. It believes that by fusing things like genetic engineering, cryonics, AI, nanotechnology, humans will evolve into an advanced and enhanced species that transcends humanity, and that we will then move into the post-human era, a future where human intelligence and consciousness is uploaded onto a microchip, and instead of a standard biological body, we have a machine body or a hybrid biological and machine body which can be upgraded and won't wear out, and therefore we won't die. That's what some people are looking to for the future of AI and humanoid robotics. And millions have been spent trying to see if humans can be merged with machines and eventually become a new super intelligent godlike species. And actually, AI has some eerily similar characteristics to God. First of all, omniscience, knowledge. AI can access so much data, it feels all-knowing, like God. If you've ever used ChatGPT, you might remember that in the search bar it says, ask anything, implying, because I know everything. It can feel like that, can't it? That it knows everything. And then omnipotence, power. We've seen the immense power of AI and its potential to solve many problems facing humans, maybe like divine power. Omnipresence, it's everywhere. If you're connected, AI is everywhere, isn't it? It's always with you, no matter what hour of the day, you've got it and you can access it, a bit like God. And then there's the issue of creation and generation. AI's ability to generate new content and solutions mirrors divine creativity. Wisdom, guidance. AI chatbots offer users guidance on any subject, even very, very deep issues like ethics and morality and deep personal subjects, a bit like we might ask God in prayer. So no wonder some are starting to look to AI as saviour, as the thing that might finally be able to tackle the biggest problems facing humans. However, before you get excited, AI is not without problems, of course. Some serious problems and drawbacks, and you've probably thought about these or worried about them like I have. Here are a few problems with AI. First of all, it's just this erosion of truth and trust. Humans have always tried to deceive each other, haven't we, unfortunately? But sophisticated AI makes it even easier to deceive one another. With deepfakes, for example, sophisticated AI that makes someone appear like somebody else. So now we're in this situation where I read a newspaper article and I say, but was that created by a human or by AI? Is it true or not? Here's an image, but can I believe that it was painted or photographed by a human or not? I can even see a video of someone I know and trust saying something, but then I think, it might be a deepfake. I'm not sure if it's really them. And so AI enhances mistrust and deception, and has sadly been used to do that already. AI surveillance is another big issue. In communist countries, AI is being used to enhance keeping watch on and controlling its citizens. For example, in China, AI is used to optimize oppression of the Uyghur people. But in Western democratic countries, there's a different kind of AI surveillance going on. Surveillance capitalism, it's called, where powerful companies and major tech corporations use AI to harvest consumer data and then manipulate behavior to maximize profits. And then there's the issue of copyright. GPT is an AI term that stands for Generative Pre-trained Transformer, and it's a method used in some AI models. But the pre-trained part of that means that this AI has been given billions of terabytes of data that it needs to function. And the problem is that this data includes creative work owned by people who made it themselves. So AI, which uses GPT, raises issues of data misuse, information piracy, violation of copyright laws, and it's a big issue, particularly for creatives such as artists and authors. And AI can be misused by corporations. For example, AI can be used by gambling companies and social media companies to encourage people to stay on their apps and products, even to get people addicted. And in democracy, AI can be used, and probably has been used, to manipulate public opinion and create convincing propaganda which misleads voters. The speed, the sheer huge speed of development is a big problem, and all agree that AI technology is developing faster than the ethics needed to guide it. Isaac Asimov, the famous science fiction author, said this: "The saddest aspect of life right now is that science gathers knowledge faster than society gathers wisdom." It's very true, isn't it? And also the sheer speed and growth of the AI industry means it's very hard for governments to keep up with up-to-date legislation and regulation. And there's the issue AI throws up of slave or master. We have enough trouble now without particularly advanced AI, preventing what we've created enslaving us and controlling us. Smartphones, for example, social media, we can often just end up being enslaved to them. A super powerful intelligence could end up controlling us even more. Dehumanization. A non-human intelligence is likely to dehumanize us. Technology is already dehumanizing us and affecting our ability to authentically interact with each other. An even more powerful AI technology is likely to do the same. As we become more and more dependent on AI, we could easily start to lose human skills, thinking, jobs, and creativity. And then the last problem is that AI requires a massive amount of energy. The BBC reported recently on a study which said that the AI industry could use as much energy as a country the size of the Netherlands by 2027. Which is an enormous amount of energy, and water also required to cool it as well. And there's many more problems we could go on, but despite these problems, governments, nations, businesses, corporations, and billionaires are investing massive amounts of money and effort into AI research and development. Many do believe that AI could be the saviour of the human race. And so we come back to our opening statement, how AI points us to Christmas. How does it? Well, it shows us that we are looking for and that we need a saviour. It shows us that we are very conscious of, as humans, of the things that we need saving from, the big things that we face that are afflicting us, loneliness, sin, our bodies decaying and ageing, death that faces all of us. We're conscious of these huge problems. We know, we long to be saved from them. We're reaching for something to do that. We're thinking, some of us, could AI be the thing that finally helps us? And the movement that we're in, the kind of cultural movement that we're in the middle of right now, is this. Humans building godlike AI to save themselves. But Christmas is about an opposite movement. God himself became human, born as a baby, born in Bethlehem, to save us. It's not a super intelligent AI machine that will save us. It's a divinely intelligent human, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was born into our world as Saviour. As we read earlier from Jeremiah 23, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up from David's line a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Saviour. That's a prophecy pointing towards the Lord Jesus. The Saviour is coming, it said. And that's what Christmas is all about. The Saviour has come. The reason that we need Jesus as Saviour is that he can meet our deepest and greatest needs in ways that AI can't and will never be able to. First of all, Jesus meets our need for love. Now, that's a deep need within us all, isn't it? Love, to love and to be loved. AI has not freely chosen to love us like God has, even though some AI chatbots can almost simulate love and simulate care. But that's just a simulation. AI doesn't care for us like God does, has no obligation to us, has made no promises or commitments to us. But God has commitments of love to his people. Even if AI does finally become conscious, what kind of love would it have for us? Would it have a love so great that it would be willing to destroy itself to save us? Because that's what Jesus did. That's how great his love was. Born as a baby, grew up, died on the cross to save us. And there's no greater love than sacrificial love. That's the love that Jesus had. That's the love that he demonstrates towards us. You know, the big problems of humanity, the uncertainty that we face, that we've heard about this evening, the loneliness that we often experience, all the other problems, they don't need AI, although I'm sure AI will be helpful in some cases, but they don't need AI, they need love, a divine love, a powerful love, a love that's greater than any love that we have or any love any machine has. A love that fills us and spills out from us when it's filled us and changes us and transforms us and makes us into humans who really, really care for one another and love each other in a similar way to how God loves us and makes us into humans who are safe and secure in God's love. Jesus was born because God loves us. Christmas is about divine love coming into our world, love personified, love as a person. God's love Love that chose closeness over comfort, chose a manger over a throne, chose presence over power, chose death over life. God's love was a love that was willing to take the place of guilty sinners. And that is the kind of love that brings joy, deep joy. Again, as we read earlier, but the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." And that gives us joy because this love saves us from loneliness, from separation, from thinking that we have no purpose and no aim. This love enables us to go through life saying, "I am known, I am seen, I am loved by God Himself." That's what life with Jesus means. I face uncertainty, but the love of God is not uncertain. It's constant and true and stays with me forever. This is the love that Jesus offers. I wonder, will you accept it? Will you accept Him into your life and receive His love this Christmas? Forgiveness is another issue that we face because of our sin. Our universally shared human problem is that we sin. We do wrong. We break God's commands. We hurt one another. We fail to love each other as we're supposed to. And so we feel emotions like guilt and shame. We deep down, we know that we need forgiveness. But AI can't forgive us. It doesn't have the authority to. It can't proclaim to us that our sins are forgiven and it will remember them no more. It will wipe away our sins from its data banks. It has no authority to do that. But God can do that. And Jesus was born into the world not only to love us and save us, but to bring us forgiveness. In Luke 1, 68 and 69, and also verse 77, Zechariah said, "Praise be to the Lord." He's talking about, this is in response to Jesus coming as a baby, "because he has raised up a king of salvation for us to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." This baby was born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger. He was the king of salvation. He grew up, and through his death on the cross, we can be forgiven. Because what was happening when Jesus was dying on the cross was all of our sins were put on him, and he was punished for them in our place. A machine can't do that. A machine can't offer forgiveness and take away our guilt. A computer can't reconcile us with God, but Jesus can. That's what Jesus offers us. Will you come to Jesus for forgiveness this Christmas? You know, when we sin against other people, we hope that they will forgive us, don't we? Because we realise we've done wrong, we feel guilt, we really hope that if we ask them, they'll forgive us. But we don't just sin against other people, we sin against God. Actually, by sinning against other people, we sin against God. And so we need His forgiveness. But that's available. The minute we ask for it, it's there. He says, "Yes, I forgive you because of Jesus." Will you come to Him, confess your sin, and find forgiveness through faith in Jesus Christ? Well, finally, and perhaps this is the real biggest thing for this season, the incarnation. AI cannot ever enter into our human experience because it's disembodied, right? But Jesus can, because he became embodied. He became human. He was born as a human baby, grew up and became just as human as you and I. Experienced what we do. Felt pain in his body like we do. Bled like we do. Suffered like we do. Felt lonely and rejected like we do. And this, of course, is the wonder of Christmas. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." The Son of God came from heaven, born as a human. This is the incarnation. God becomes man. And what this means is that he has a true and a real empathy for us. Not a machine-learned empathy, which can never be real without a human body. AI does not have experiential knowledge, does it? It doesn't know what it feels like to encounter rejection, to feel grief, to jump for joy. It doesn't know these things. But Jesus does, because he's Emmanuel, the with us God. He's with us in our struggles and our suffering. He's with Carol in her loss. He's with Callum in his uncertainty about finding a job. He's with us. He was with Ollie back in Northern Ireland when he was wondering where he was going to live. And we know that he was with so many others whose stories that we know personally. He was with Hayley as she thought about that and started that job in Oxford. He's become like us, so he understands what we go through. He can walk alongside us. And importantly, the incarnation means that the future that Jesus offers us is not transhuman. It's not, oh, the future is you'll become a machine. No, it's very much a human future when we have a renewed body, which is without flaws, without disease, without decay, without aging, without death one day. It's a future which solves the biggest problem of being human, the biggest problems, which is why we need the Lord Jesus and not AI. It's a future that says, come with me, trust me. I became you in order to die for you, to empathize with you, to save you, to love you, to offer you forgiveness. Let me walk with me through your life. And after you die, come with me to a new future. May your body be renewed. And finally, the problems that humans face will be solved. We can finally live in harmony and joy with nothing ruining things for each other. Will you entrust yourself and your future to Jesus this Christmas? God bless you. Thank you for listening.